Okay, so I'm Owen here again, and I'm interviewing Sue or Susan. How do you say your last name?
It's Noakes now, but it was Howie.
Howie.
Sue Howie in those days.
Right, so Sue Howie would be the daughter of
Maurie and June Howie,
who resided out
at Broken River.
That's right.
And I was born on Yungla because there was no hospital.
No.
So born in Mackay.
So you weren't fortunate enough to be born on the range?
And I was not. I believe, and I was told very close to, but no, I'm born in, I'm sure there's plenty of those who've been born on the range.
Yeah, the Doolin boys were born on the range.
At that stage, Mum and Dad, Maurie and June Howie, had bought the farm at Broken River.
They own just the one side? They didn't own Smith, did they?
No, they did not at that stage. So no. Grand Smith still owned the opposite side. So that was the oats paddock on the bottom. And then up around Andy Heron and then down to the back areas. And that was Grand. So Irene Beryl Smith. And so she used to help Dad. And they combined the herd at that stage. Grand had originally been milking by herself. After Granddad Smith passed away. So then she actually ended up combining the herd, and they would milk together. And then over a period of time, Dad then bought out her side, and she just maintained and kept the house, which you live in now.
Yes.
Which is fairly amazing, isn't it?
And did you guys demolish the dairy, or when did that happen?
So the dairy went through. Mum and Dad were always sort of improving, making sure. When we first arrived, or when they first got married, so they were married very young. So Mum and Dad, Dad had come up from Bee Creek Way.
So we're talking about 1968.
And that would have been
68 or something, 60.
No, I was born in 61. This is the history part that Dad would probably have to fill in more than me. I know that they had already been, they'd probably only been there a couple of years.
Mm.
Yeah, so they would have only been there a couple of years, I suppose, prior to that. Mum was 19 when she had me, so they pretty much married, and I was born 12 months later.
They had the farm just before they had me,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, and Gran Howie later on moved out. They sold off the farm, and she came out and lived in a caravan, which was very cute, up the road from the main house. And then that was then had a little attachment built onto it, which she still slept in her caravan. So a little Scottish lady sleeping up the upper grands, I used to say. I was going upper grands whenever I got sick and tired of Mum and Dad.
And so your house was, there was only one house down there when you were born?
So there's only one house,
yeah.
And then that was quite a small house at that particular time. And then Mum and Dad gradually sort of built onto that and made it into, not a substantial house, but it's certainly quite a large house. And that had, of course, at that stage there was no inside toilet. There was just the drop toilet out the back. And then Dad bought on a little a cubby house, which was probably a lot more palatial than any other cubby houses in the street. And at that time of my growing up, so I was born in 61, and over the road in the national parks were the Loynes's, so Les Loynes and his crew. So Alan Loynes was my sort of mate that we sort of mucked around in the national parks for most of the time. And I think those were the times when, you know, we would disappear off for a day and then return in the afternoon. And key things that I remember growing up, I suppose, is Sunday school. Trying to run away from Mum every Sunday not to go to Sunday school. But Sunday school was always before church, and that was at the back of the church, and all the kids would have Sunday school.
And that's this one here
and
at Yungla?
Yeah, that's one up at Yungla. And I remember we used to then have functions up at the hall, so there would be balls, dances, there would be dress ups, you know, like you had to fancy dress.
School did fancy dress. Yeah.
Always doing fancy dress. We would have shows, so we would do where there would be people, we would have singing, people would be acting out scenes. Tennis, I remember my first, I think I was put under the chair and left at a tennis match once.
Tennis was
at that stage they used to go out to Crediton.
Next to the hall.
And so that was out there before, and I think then they when they then built the tennis the courts opposite the hall here, where it was then they could play at night time. So I remember playing at night time, and skiing out at the dam. So everyone went skiing out at Youngler Dam. So that was sort of a period of time, I think, where there's just so much social activity. School, and so I suppose because it was so much part of the community, remember Mrs. Loveye always, out of all of my teachers. I think she was the one that had always stuck in my mind. And it was always sort of quite amazing when I come back to functions like this, and even today, and there's Mrs. Loveye. And it doesn't look any different to what I saw her as a grade one and two teacher. So we used to come in, huge amount of pine trees at the top that we'd always sort of hide in. Down the bottom of the oval was this huge gully. And in the gully, we would always do cubby houses out of grass. I was just talking to Peter Burgess, and he spent most of his school life burying me in the gully, along with Max Norman and Kent Norman. Always used to bury me at the bottom of that. And Peter Woodland would try and save me. So there you go.
It's good you remember the crucial things.
Crucial things, your memory. Watermelon at breakup days. Always remember we had watermelon at breakup days. Awards. We had recorders. We'd go out and file down in our at the between the actual school, which is now the undercover area. That was our not undercover area. So it was just a paved area, bitumen area, and that was our every morning we got out with our recorders
and play God Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen. Yeah, we did.
That happened until about 86.
Really? Not so long ago, was it? But I suppose because we were at Broken River, there was always activity. There was always people camped there. There were always,
terrorising tourists or not?
Yeah. I became very good at terrorising tourists.
Pranks included?
No, not really terrorising, but you certainly got to sort of know the people. Obviously, swimming in Broken Creek, Broken River when it's at flood. That was the key thing that you had to do on a tube, so we had to do that.
So you get from Crystal Cascades down to the diggings in a couple of minutes?
Yes. So all those key things, I suppose, no different to what my dad used to do before me, I suppose, but in a different area.
And so, I guess, what was your basic daily routine when you were a kid? You had to catch the school bus,
so
I imagine.
Yeah, so daily routine would be, thankfully, we actually didn't live too far from the road, so my walk out to wait for the bus. And I'm just trying to think of my bus driver.
I remember the walk out.
I remember my first day, and it seemed like it was the longest walk of my life. So I walked down across the little gully, the little bridge, and then out to where the milk cans used to sit. So at that time there was still because all the milk was still in the cans.
And
so
that was near the bridge, wasn't it?
That was near the main bridge, and that used to be my shelter in case it rained. I had to hide in the milk shed. Who was the bus drivers?
I don't know them. They went around when I was around.
So we had, that's terrible memory. So we had, when the bus drivers used to, it was a small bus, used to pick me up, and a little bit different to when Mum used to ride a horse to school, and so did Dad. I think Dad had to walk because his older brothers used to take the horse. So it was pretty good, pretty quick and easy, and coming into the school. We start off with parade, and then go into our classrooms. We had obviously, a number of classes in one. So I think I started out with 1, 2, and 3, and I think 4 and 5, and then 6 and 7 as all composite classes.
3 teachers.
So, and I think there was I'm pretty sure there was about three teachers plus
a teacher's aide,
but they weren't called teacher's aides in those times. I think it was just mothers.
Don't tell me it was still Del Cunningham.
No, Del. Didn't Del used to work up in the exchange? Now, who worked that in
Mrs.
the...
Mrs. Clark?
Mrs. Clark was it worked? Because I used to go up and do, after school, I used to go and help with
the party line,
oh, so right. The phone exchange. I remember walking around, so at that time the bakery was here, there, so yeah. Just up the road from the school, so I used to go down sometimes if, you know, something was happening and I didn't have to go home from school or, you know, mum was at the shop.
Did you hear anything you shouldn't have on the party lines?
Oh, probably, consistently. I didn't realise that it was such a weird thing until we went to visit someone that had just normal lines and there was no one else on the line.
Yeah.
You know, and to me that was like, wow, is this what just real phones are? You know, party lines were really quite unique in those days. I'm sure we've come across many conversations we probably shouldn't have. I always loved it when we were on the phone, how they would break in and say that there was another phone call coming. It was almost having your own private secretary. I remember, you know, I think moments on the buses, one of the guys out at Crediton was apparently, I think he must, moments in time where I smashed one of the kids over the head with a brush once on the bus. Mr. Lowry. So Mr. Lowry actually put me out of the bus and made me walk part of the way home because I had assaulted someone with a brush. I think that was out of, I think he actually liked me, but I didn't quite, you know, it was too early.
Grade two.
Yeah, exactly. couldn't really quite work that out. Smuggled home two small kittens once in the school bus.
From school to home
and then managed to stow them away for a couple of days until Mum and Dad found out. I suppose life then, when you went back home from school, I would always be, I'd have to then go and do farm duties. So I would, my job was to look after the potty calves.
So you missed out on that on the mornings?
I did. Mm. It was Dad, we did do that. Mum and Dad did that in the morning. So occasionally I'd have to feed, I could have fed the chooks in the morning, but from memory it seemed to be more in the afternoon where I fed all the chooks, gathered the eggs, fed all the potty calves, refilled all the grain. Sometimes on all weekends I'd have to go up and get the cows for milking, so I'd be sent off on the back of a horse to get the cows. The horse of course would then buck me as soon as it was out of sight from Dad and I'd have to walk the rest of the way. So that was often. Often at a time I was left in the oats paddock watching the cattle so that they wouldn't disappear. I was pretty much always out with Dad when we were, you know, on a horse or going out mustering or used to have an old Jeep in those days, and so I learnt to drive quite young.
The farm Jeep, yep.
And he would always he'd be going, what are you doing? And I said, I have to get a snack. So I had a snack under my arm wherever we went. But I suppose growing up within that area was definitely a freedom, although there were duties and chores and all those things that you had to do.
Yeah, brothers and sisters or not?
No, so an only child.
So it was just the neighbours.
The neighbours, and that was the Loynes's. Les was part of the National Parks then, and that was probably only the ones around my age in that area, because the Herons were older than me by that stage.
So that'd be John and Heather.
John and Heather, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so I suppose because we had so much social life generally on the weekends with sport or tennis or, you know, all those sorts of things, you certainly sort of got to know, you know, everyone else around the neighbourhood. Oh, I remember also where they used to have, if anyone went on holidays, they'd have slide night.
Okay.
So when people came home from holidays.
Is that the hall somewhere?
They would, normally at Crediton Hall or the main hall, and they'd have a slide night and everyone come along and watch your holiday snaps.
Would anyone fall asleep?
Consistently. And here we are, and this is what we did. So it was a travel monologue. So that was quite funny. I suppose that introduced me early on to travel.
Did you have the Santa at the Crediton Hall as well?
Yes.
Didn't have the Easter Bunny, surely.
I only remember the Easter Bunny at home.
And the
so
tooth fairy.
I remember the Easter bunny and the tooth fairy, most definitely.
There were cow teeth underneath.
Mum, oh yeah, pillow. Almost. I wonder what they were. Mum, there would always be these tracks, little paw prints in white flour. Well, obviously, I didn't know it was flour. White snow that the Easter bunny had arrived. I remember used to from our place going down along the bridge and then up. There's quite a a bit of a steep hill going over the other side of the bridge, going out to Crediton, and that was my daredevil bike area. So I used to go flat strap down across the bridge
on the main road.
On the main road.
And no timber jinkers at all in
no,
the area.
No, that's right. Absolutely. So that fell off a number of times doing that. Fell off the horse 3,000 times. Broke my arm here at the school.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Doing tennis, so I fell back on it.
Oh, I thought you were just hitting the ball.
No. Yeah, no. So that was and I had a weird. I managed to get, and this was in probably grade 5 or 6, a thing called it was just like a bone disease, and from growth and a weird thing, and they had to wrap my leg up in foam for 6 months.
In foam, like polystyrene foam.
Yes, so that no one knocked it, because if it knocked it, it would create a problem.
Okay, so you would have been popular.
Michelin doll or something. It was just very weird. Very weird.
Everyone wanted to sign it.
They did. Yeah.
When you broke your arm, did they rush you down to Mackay, or
There was a moment in time where everyone had to decide if it was worth the travel.
So the wait was what, 4 hours?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then after the pain sort of hadn't gone away, it was like, oh, fine, then we'll have to take you down to Mackay.
And what, the school take you down, or you had to wait for your mum?
No,
to come
mum yeah. came in. Thankfully, they weren't too far away.
I think that's how a lot of injuries from Youngler happen. They happen and then, in a minute.
You'll be fine. Yeah. Honestly, we'll give you a night, and if it's still worse, we'll then worry about it then.
You would have, just seen power come in when you were a kid, eh?
Yeah. So
that would have changed things.
So that was sort of like the start of... I definitely remember the changeover from... The kerosene fridges, yeah. and then to power, and then TV. So we must have got television. Probably that was later on. So about must have been 60, early 70s.
Yeah,
must have been when
and
TV came.
73 or so was colour. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so I remember we got black and white, obviously, but everyone sat round and just watched this.
Box.
The box with the snow. I'm sorry, that wasn't anything. And then soon after that, the toilet came inside and was a flush, which was fairly impressive.
What else? There was another. You were seeing the bitumen come on the road up the range as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Also the road widening and...
Well, the road out to Broken River even.
Absolutely. The road out, it was dirt. It was certainly a pretty dangerous one, particularly when you're right with the timber trucks and also the milk trucks. And I mean, it was a fairly busy
industrial road.
Yeah, it was an industrial road. But that was amazing. And I suppose it sort of stuck so much in my memory that... I came back and got married here in Youngler, and today's my anniversary.
Oh, well done.
There you go. And so 13th of September, 85, we got married. I got dressed in Mr. and Mrs. Keith's house.
All right.
And had the ceremony in the church, which my granddad helped build, and had a horse and cart pull us there, which was kind of cool. And... So, see you, Adrian. See you, Kerry. You well. Nice to see you. So, and reception back at the chalet.
Oh, the chalet, excellent place.
And as we were sitting there, and the minister was about to sort of give grace, and he rushed out, and the skydivers were just jumping off. It was the start of the competition, and he gave out, and I think he went out and gave them their final choice of not doing it or blessing them before they jumped. But certainly a great day. It was a weekend affair. So sort of the wedding just kept on going for about 3 days. Which is nice. So that's our connection, I suppose. It's a piece of you and a piece of your growing up, and you like to revisit it for those moments. Yeah, I think that's it. There's probably more.